we caused a real problem for the for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and a bunch of others, the Romans. A lot of people were very upset with us. Okay, so they're all right. There was a very big need to cover up what took place in the Christ period. Now, we were doing all right until what we call a period called the Essene Divide, and that's an event that's listed on this paper as it basically, it was a few years before and quite a few years after, but the kind of high point of it was 23 AD. Now, Jeshua was born, we call him Jeshua 12, because he had, like, he was carrying the 12 base 12 strand pattern stuff. He was born in 12 BC, and he finally ascended through the Ark of the Covenant in 27 AD. That's because the mission got blown. The mission wasn't supposed to get blown. Now, in the agreements that were made, there was another, let's call him Junior Avatar, that was allowed to come in on the bioregenesis experiment. He was named Jeshua, and it was spelled with a Y, the way the Hyksos, not Hebrews, but the Hyksos alphabet didn't have the J in it. The original Hebrew alphabet did, for anybody that knows, you know, that little twist on the names. Jeshua 9, Jeshua, was, this was the line where you get Mary and Joseph, all right? The mother and father of that one were Mary and Joseph. Johias and Judy were the parents of Jeshua 12, the real Jesus. Now, neither of these guys got crucified. They were actually working as a team. Jeshua 12 ordinated Jeshua 9 into the Melchizedek cloister priesthood. John the Baptist had ordinated Jesus, you know, Jeshua 12, into the priesthood. These were the Magi, and we were attempting to create a new hybrid Grail line that had the potential to bring back the full Christos pattern to those races. And because the Hyksos races had invaded everything they could get their hands on since Atlantis, they had the most coding of everything. So that race was chosen for that opportunity, because they would be, because they could connect genetically to just about everything. They also had a huge amount of the coding that went with the planetary grids. Well, everything was going fine, and Enoch at this point had actually come back into the Emerald Covenant and decided he wanted to be a part of it. Toth was doing one of these as usual, where Galactic Federation had kind of convinced the Toth Plating Anunnaki crew to enter the Emerald Covenant. Except they had an agenda. They weren't planning on staying. They were planning on making sure this avatar of theirs was born, and then taking that further into the future on their own agenda. And that's precisely what they did. They created, once Jeshua 9, we call him Jeshua 9, was born, there's progressive infiltration of the Palladian Nibiru Anunnaki via Galactic Federation. Galactic Federation, the one that likes to channel books these days, were back there then. In fact, they're the ones that helped to take out Solomon's temple by accident. Yeah, they blew up their own temple by accident. I won't even get into that now. But anyway, in the Arimathea agenda, which the Anunnaki groups and the Hyksos, Leviathan races had given lip service to giving up. They wanted to be healed from that. You know, they came up from Atlantis. Once Jeshua 9 was born, the showdown began. Galactic Federation pulled out of the Emerald Covenant, and so did the Toth group. And now they had their super hybrid Hyksos that had the coding of the Magi, the genetic coding of the Magi. So it was, again, another notch up as far as getting security codes to the planetary stargates and creating a master raider race. But what they had to do was cover up anything that had to do with the real Jeshua, because if they didn't, there would be too much knowledge that would be written. I mean, when we would get books down, you give them 6 months in those days, and they'd be something different. So there was like several copies of things handwritten, and one would be the real one, and he'd hide that somewhere special. And then you'd have ones that had certain alterations put in them that would, if you read them right, lead you to where the real one might be. All sorts of games being played back then by both sides just to keep, you know, the truth on the planet and the other guy's trying to get rid of it. So the Arimathea agenda got interwoven into what we call the Bible, even before the Council of Nicaea finalized what the Bible would become. Even in like 100 BC, we had the Hyksos Arimathea agenda coming up. You'll find this, the Hyksos writings in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Qumran Dead Sea Scrolls. These were a group of the Hyksos races that were associated with the Essenes. Yes, the ones they had raided and gotten part of the gene code from, because Essenes were around for, you know, as long as the root races and the cloister races were around, because Essene is simply one of the smaller families of the Melchizedek cloister angelic human race. All right. So when you see the Dead Sea Scroll stuff, this is coming from the Hyksos perspective. All of these things were building up. So by the time the Christ drama unfolded and the betrayal took place in 23 AD, we couldn't finish the mission that we had started here for, which was to bring the races back into wholeness, into oneness, to prepare everybody for the stellar activation cycle of this time period, so everybody would be able to make it through, and Earth would be reborn into a new age of light, and everybody would be welcome there as long as they behaved and stopped trying to hurt other people. In the Essene Divide, we called it the Essene Divide, because you had some of the ones with the Essene coding that had come up from the Hyksos that had raided Essene races, and they're the ones that had been combined with the true Essenes, the Grail lines. You had a divide between them that took place, and this is where our contemporary understanding of the nonsense that comes up from that time period in the Bible references and things, where the true Grail line, Jeshua ascended. I mean, he just left through the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't die. He wasn't crucified. He wasn't even persecuted. It was the other guy that had the big mouth. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, being told he's holier than thou by his fallen Anu Elohim friends, and that it was his job to convert everybody over to the thing, he got a little too outspoken, let's say. And he did indeed. Like, we had groups of 12 knights, let's say, like the round table knights around us. Well, he decided to do disciples, which was, I'm above you and you're going to listen to me, kind of stuff. Jeshua 9 reflected very much the mentality of those who were guiding him and directing him. He was an incarnate out of one of the fallen Anu Elohim collectives. He was an avatar, a ninth level avatar, a D9 avatar, oversoul, that came in order to do this. And he was supposed to stay on the side of the Emerald Covenant. But when he didn't, there was this whole new path of evolution that was going to be run, and it was going to be run through the biblical story. So they took pieces of the ancient Hyksos distortions, the stuff from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and even back way further into the Hebrew traditions that went back into Atlantis, and they began to weave tales, and they began to edit things out that anybody else wrote down that didn't fit into those tales. So the Arimathea, or Metatronic agenda, began being woven progressively into what has become Christianity on this planet, which was interesting because, all right, now what happened to Jeshua 9? He didn't get crucified either. There was another guy that, because Jeshua 9 went around and really agitated the Romans and a few other people and got too much attention drawn to himself, they had to get him out of the Holy Land. They had to literally get him and his family out because they were going to kill them if they stuck around, and they couldn't let that happen. He had that new gene code. Can't let him get killed. He has to have more babies. This is really how the Anu Elohim were perceiving the whole thing. So there was a guy named Arahabi who looked like him physically, who resembled him physically. And the Anu Elohim sent him on a few little tangents of inspired visions and things and convinced him that he was Christ, and got him spouting some of the teachings so he would sound enough like him. And they set Arahabi up. And they told him he couldn't ascend. He didn't have a gene code where he could ascend, but they told him that they would give him the gene code, the Metatronic version, that he could ascend if he would allow himself to die for his God. He was crucified. So there was a man crucified, but it wasn't either of the Jeshuas. It was Arahabi, who was a poor sucker. He was conned by having visions given to him by a bunch of fallen angelics who told him if he let himself be tortured this way, that God would reward him with an eternal body. Well, it wasn't eternal. It might have been immortal, but it wasn't eternal. All right. So there is some reality to the crucifixion story. It was part of the cover-up of the real Christian story, which has always been about bringing the inner Christos teachings here. That's what Jeshua taught. That's what the other Jeshua was supposed to teach. And he started to. Now, where Jeshua 9 went, he had Jeshua 12 literally in 27 AD ascending. back up the Ark of the Covenant. He left. John the Baptist went in his own direction. He got killed. And Miriam stuck around for a while and ascended. I think it was 37 AD. It's about 10 years after Joshua. And we did what we could, but what we were there for couldn't be finished. And it was all kind of left till next round. And this goes up, like, next round, like, took us in through the Arthur legends and all that stuff, King Arthur and all that. That was all about this. But the important thing to see here with Arimathea is tracking it. There was, and Ma'a is telling me this now, who this person was, because I was trying to find out who exactly it was, and Ma'a is verifying something, that a person named Joseph of Arimathea was the brother of, get this, please, what's the brother, would you please, like, catch this, the brother of the person who was Mary, Mother Mary, okay, the brother of Mother Mary's mother. Okay. That's how I just worded it. What does that make him? The brother of Mother Mary's mother.
Brother of Mother Mary's mother.
So it's Mary's uncle.
Yeah.
That Mary's uncle? Yeah, that would be Mary's uncle. Okay. Now, he was of, I believe the history has him in Palestine, of Arimathea. In fact, there was a place called Arimathea in Palestine. And I wonder who settled that place. You know, I mean, it was Hyksos. And there was an exodus of the Hyksos Grail line, the Jeshua Nine line. They got Mary out. Mary Magdalene is who he had married. They got Mary Magdalene out. Now, there's a little twist I got to share with this. Mary Magdalene was intended to be the wife of Jeshua 12. It was his twin flame. And they messed with her before she woke up, and they married her off to Jeshua 9 in order to get the gene code. And that was part of the reason Jeshua left. Because there was nothing left for him to do. He left children behind, though. He didn't marry any of the mothers. It was done through sacred rites within the temple, and certain women were chosen. There were 6 women chosen, and there were fathers who would be the fathers of these children to raise these children as their own. And it was simply that it was a very sacred leaving behind of a gene code before he ascended. So there were 6 lineages from Jeshua 12, the indigo lines that came up from that period. But what happened to the other guys, the J9 lines, who'd hijacked Mary, and this is causing Sananda a problem right now, because Mary got Metatronic coding, his twin. So right now, Sananda's main mission is to work with Galactic Federation to try to get, and Sananda was the soul name of Jeshua 12. He has to get Mary, his twin, the other half of his entity, out of the Metatronic coding. So he's a bit busy in this particular time frame. That's why you'll find both Jeshua 9 and, reluctantly, Jeshua 12 working with the Galactic Federation people, with the Anunnaki people right now, because he has a karmic issue to settle where he has to help his twin flame, to his twin avatar, to get out of the Metatronic coding before she goes down. Because if she goes down, he's stuck in this, this matrix with the other half of him coded over there. So there's some issues that came up out of that period. It was awful what happened in that period. It was the Essene divide period. And what's come out of that has been even more awful. Because what they did was Joseph of Arimathea, of Palestine, Mary's uncle, got the bunch of them out. Now, he had a lot of trafficking because he was involved with, I think it was gold, wasn't it? With the gold mines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was like the Ministry of Mines of Rome. Tin and Cornwall, okay. Because he had connections to England and also to France, because they went to France first. Joseph of Arimathea got them into France. And there was a group, they had, they talk about getting sucker punched. There was a group of Cathars. The Cathars of France were portions of the, like what became the Cathars of France, were some of the Jeshua 12 lineage people that had been, moved around. We didn't just leave them all in the Holy Land. We had to put them at different areas. They were put at Gate 12, which is Montségur in France. That's where the original Cathars started. Well, there, before we had full-blown Cathars, we had gene lines being filtered up into this direction. Okay, we had our Grail lines there. We had our Gate 12 Grail lines there from the beginning. They were always there because Gate 12 is Montségur, France. So we would have Tribe 12 people there. The 12 Tribe 12 Grail lines would be there, and so would the root races be there. Well, the Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, brought the Hyksos Jesus into the 12 tribes regions of France, and at first was able to pass him off as the other Joshua. Because, I mean, people weren't in, like, active, open communication with each other. So he was taken in, and they created a following there. This is where you had, before the Cathars even became officially called Cathars, you had the Cathar divide. There was part of the Essene divide. You had a group, and a Grail line, an Antichristos Hyksos Grail line, that came up, living in the same spaces as the Grail lines that went with Tribe 12. Now, later, Joshua 12's descendants, one of them, came and was brought in to bring up the Tribe 12 lineage again, because it had been contaminated by the Hyksos, the Hyksos Joshua. So out of France, you have two movements building. You have the Cathars, and Cathar was just like Cathara, healing. It was originally spelled with a K. It referred to Cathara, light, sound, one. That's what the word meant. It got changed into Cathari with a C, and this had to do with not just the Hyksos, but also the Drax getting in on the act. You also had, during this period, the beginnings of what became Draconian Christianity, as opposed to Anunnaki Christianity. So you had the Bible stories, the stories coming up from this chaos that came out of the two Joshuas and the lineage moving into France, it moved from France and then spread into England and into other places. It seeded the Templar quest and the Arimathea agenda. It was seeded through Joseph of Arimathea and through Joshua 9 and Mary and Joseph, who were the parents of Joshua 9. This was a betrayal of the Emerald Covenant. The people who were representing the Christos teachings kind of got knocked on the head again, but the drama continued. But this is what became of this was very interesting, because by 325 AD, you know, a couple hundred years after all this was taking place, the Draconians got in on the picture. The Hyksos were making so much advancement by putting out their records, by combining it with the records from the past and putting the Joshua 9 story out as if it were the real story, and hiding and destroying any records that were existing on Joshua 12 and, you know, the true Miriam and, you know, John the Baptist. They changed names. They took certain stories that took place here and put, like, they changed the order of this person was first and that person was second, like, as far as, like, birth times. For instance, they put John the Baptist as almost in a similar, like, time frame, age bracket, as Joshua, and he wasn't. He was much, much older. So they doctored the documents, the historical documents, got rid of what didn't serve them. They were doing really, really well, and that really, really upset the Draconian mob over in Rome. So the Draconian mob over in Rome decided to take all of this new information, this new Christ period stuff, and make their own version of it. And they combined it with the Olympian God stuff that they had taken from the Anunnaki originally. They had taken over some of that. They were using that to control the Roman people, the Roman empires. They combined it, and what used to be the Olympian gods became saints instead. So they renamed them. They made them saints, okay? You couldn't have Olympian gods anymore. You could have saints. They decided this was a good bandwagon to jump on. And the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD brought together Pharisees, Sadducees, people from, you know, like people in control of large groups, where they had to deal with this problem about what do we do with the records? We might not like each other, but we all have one common interest to make sure we win when the stellar activation cycle comes. So there was a book assimilated and created out of editing, twisting, and taking most of the guts out of the historical records. They use some of our records. They use some of the falsified records. That these are the parts that will be compatible with the Qumran stuff, you know, the Dead Sea Scroll stuff. And they created what we call the Bible. And as we know, the history from there has been absolute chaos, where the Draconian, now what's interesting too, is you had the Draconian versions, I mean the Draconian Leviathan races, which were became the Knights Gnosis, the Knights Malta. They became the push behind Catholicism. Then you had the Hyksos lines that became the push behind Protestantism. This is where you have the division between Catholic and Protestant. It's dragging on Anunnaki, as usual. It's like humans just never fit into this history here. We're watching wars go on between people who don't even belong here in the first place, and the people who do belong here think they're a part of it, and they don't know how to step outside of it because their own history is gone. So that leads us up to the point where we are here. Yeah, we're doing good. Okay, that's good. Now, good. I'll leave him 10 minutes and me about 8. Okay, that was actually good. So I think that's enough of the history so you can understand how the things that we're talking about now, there is a context for these. It's not some idea we pulled off the top of our head and we're trying to con you into believing. There's a history here. It's not a pleasant history. It's a history that makes you want to cry. At least it does me. It's been horrible. It's been horrible for the Grail Lines. It's been horrible for the angelic humans. And it's been horrible for any of the Leviathan races who tried to escape from it. Because the fallen angelic collectives that control them and who can mess with them because of the DNA weaknesses, they have more of the reversals in their DNA, especially the ones with the Metatronic coding. They can be, you know, put that little CD in their heads and you can show them pictures, you can give them divine experiences that aren't real. This is how we've been manipulated all through this process. Now, what it leads us to is the beast. In